To 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just give me a moment as I mess with my microphone here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we are looking at verses 7 through 18. We'll read all 7 to 18. We'll actually look at 7 to 12 and then 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 18. The Word of God says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let's pray. Lord, there is a message of hope this morning that you want to speak to us through these words. A message that reminds us that in the dark times to not lose heart, because you are working on our behalf to do something amazing. My words are feeble and weak this morning, and I am praying that you will move powerfully through the preaching of your word to transform our hearts, to give us this message that we can go out and not lose heart in a hard and dark world. I'll recommit this to you in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So it seems fitting on this kind of Thanksgiving weekend, as we've just been, probably eating a lot of food, right? Probably eating turkey, some of us eating ham. I know we bucked the system and ate ham, and it was very good. But it seems fitting on this Thanksgiving weekend, as hopefully we are also giving thanks, to give a message of hope. And that's hopefully what I'm here to do this morning, is to give you a message of hope. Or another way to say it, if you can go back to the title screen, is a message that will hopefully help you to not lose heart. Because unfortunately, we live in a world full of pain and suffering, don't we? Yeah, you only need to turn on your TV or turn on your radio or be on the internet just for a couple of minutes. You don't need to take that long. And you're going to hear about tragedies that are happening in our world. Just think about the last couple of weeks, right? We have the terror attacks in France. That's been jarring, hasn't it? It's been jarring to hear the reports and to read what happened. On a local level, up in the Twin Cities, just not more than a week ago, we had protesters killed by police. And in a disturbing story in Florida, we had one man. It was his last day of work. It was his last day of work before retirement, and he's shot dead. On other fronts, we have new diseases and viruses and cancers developing every day that are taking lives, right? We hear about weather tragedies like tsunamis. We hear about earthquakes. We hear about mudslides. We hear about floods that happen not just in our country, but happen across the globe. And the crazy thing is these take thousands of lives every year. And yet we also have the stresses and the sufferings of everyday life that you and I feel on a consistent basis. As we deal with physical issues, as we deal with emotional turmoil, as we deal with financial hardships, as we deal with relationship stresses in marriages, in families, in friendships. And when you take all of these things and you start to compile them together, it can easily feel like the picture of our existence is very bleak, can it? And it's a picture that can be so hard sometimes that for some of us, what it does is it drives us to the brink of despair and it drives us to the edge of this cliff where we want to take all of these things together and we want to say, meaningless. We want to look at all the tragedies. We want to say, they have no purpose. I know there are times that I feel that. I bet there are times that you feel that too. And before we jump off of that cliff, before we yell meaningless, there's a tether or a rope that pulls us back. It's a tether that takes all of those tragedies and all of those hardships and it says, look, they're not meaningless. It's the tether that takes all of the hardships and the sufferings that you and I are facing right now and it says, look, there's purpose. It's a tether for us as believers, which allows us to make sense out of all of these tragedies that we see around us. And it's a tether which allows us to endure this life even when we want to give up. And again, believers are not beyond that. We're not beyond saying we want to give up. But instead of us giving up, it allows us to look at life, to look at all that happens in our life and to say, you know what? It not only has meaning, but God is using it to prepare something in us and through us that is good. And the tether that I'm talking about this morning is the tether of God's word. And as we see this tether, we see it most clearly in the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, a man who uniquely suffered and endured hardship in a way that most of us just never had. But what he's doing is he's throwing us this rope this morning in these verses, and he's saying, look, don't jump. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. So that we will understand that the hardships and suffering of our past, of our present, of our future, they all have a purpose. And as we'll see, they have a purpose of proclamation in making the gospel known. They have a purpose of producing within each one of us spiritual renewal. And they have a purpose of preparation in preparing eternity for us as we look to our future hope in Christ. So my hope this morning is that if you're suffering, you're not going to lose heart. If you're discouraged, may you leave this morning encouraged. If you're full of sorrow, my hope is that you will leave full of joy. And again, if you want to look at life and you say, man, it's meaningless, that you will leave seeing that everything that happens to you, that happens to me, that happens in the world is totally meaningful. So let's jump right into the text this morning. I have 4 points for you. And the first one's this. Don't lose heart. Your suffering proclaims the gospel. Look with me again at verses 7 to 12, and I'm going to read them once again. Verses 7 to 12 of 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So if you were to look at the first 6 verses of this chapter, which I didn't read, Okay, if you were to look at the first six verses, what we have Paul doing is he's laying out the foundation of his ministry, okay? And he's basically saying, look, we proclaim a truth that's not of us. We're not proclaiming ourselves. What we're trying to do is we're trying to proclaim Christ. And he also gives the reason that he proclaims Christ. He's saying, I proclaim Christ because God has taken the truth of Christ and he's sunk it deep inside of me. Okay? So the logic follows that God has allowed Paul to know Christ, and so Paul proclaims Christ. Simpler way to say that is that God saved Paul, so Paul proclaims Jesus. That hopefully makes sense to you. That's what we as believers do, right? So God has saved us in Christ, and so we are called then to go proclaim Christ, right? But that's not the only message Paul is trying to proclaim. He's not just proclaiming that he's saved, and so he proclaims Jesus. He also wants to talk about the means, okay? He wants to talk about the means, meaning, my pages were mixed up, meaning that he wants to communicate how God works through him to proclaim that gospel, okay? He wants to proclaim how God works through him to proclaim that gospel. And if you will, look right with me in verse 7. And in verse 7, Paul says this, that we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now think about this. Take your most valued possession, okay? Whatever that thing is that you think is super awesome, you know, maybe for some of you it's an old car, right? Maybe for some of you, you've got some collector's comics or something like that. I don't know what that is for you guys. Now put it in a clay jar. And you're basically saying, hey, this is my security. This is how I'm going to keep this treasure safe. Do you think that's a good idea? Some of you are like, I don't know. No, it's not, right? Because a clay jar, you can just take it. I could just, bam, hit it there and it's broken. Clay jars are not sturdy things. And so most of us would never take a super valuable treasure and be like, yeah, I'm going to put that in there. I know for me, if I put it in a clay jar, 5 minutes, my son, it's broken. Okay? I'm not going to do that. But Paul is making the statement that we have this valuable treasure, and the treasure that he's talking about is the gospel. And that we have this valuable treasure in weak pots. And the weak pots that he's talking about in this metaphor is us. He's talking about us as believers. And Paul is pointing to the reality that the means by which God has chosen to proclaim the good news of Christ, the good news of the gospel, is through the weakness of man. Through the weakness of man. And you say, so for what purpose? Why, God, have you chosen man to proclaim the gospel? Well, look again in verse 7. It says this. So that the surpassing power, meaning that all power, glory, and honor is going to be God's and not ours. In fact, Paul, he makes this statement even clearer if you look up here. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. He says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So follow this. God chose what is foolish, what is weak, what is low, and what is despised in the world to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Okay? That's what God did. Okay? And he did that so that none of us can boast in the presence of God. We can't say that it was us, right? We can't say, oh man, we did this, made this awesome gospel presentation, and that's why they came to faith. No, we can't say that. Right? Because we're weak. We're foolish. We're not wise. We're, as Paul says, jars of clay. But then you might ask, but how does that relate to my current suffering? Okay, you said you had a message of hope, so how does that relate this morning? Paul tells us in verses 8 to 12. He says, in our human weakness, we are afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. How many of you feel afflicted this morning? Maybe you've got some debilitating kind of pain in your body that the doctors, for whatever reason, they can't figure out, right? Or maybe you've got some emotional issues, some depression or anxiety going on that you've been working through for a really long time. And it has its ups and its downs, but it never seems to get any better. What about perplexed? I know for me, I feel perplexed on a daily basis. And, you know, my brothers here who I get to talk to on a regular basis know this, that, you know, God has given me the great gift of children. I love my kids. They are amazing little creatures that surprise me every day. Yet they also perplex me and baffle me every single day. Right? One day they're the sweetest kids in the world. The next day they're like monsters from another planet. And yet I am so baffled at how I am called to cherish and to love and to discipline these kids well to the glory of God, when I know that my wife and I, all we really want is a good night's sleep. Right? That's all we want. Just let us sleep for 4 hours. That's all. Sorry, this microphone's giving me fits here. Maybe you feel persecuted or struck down. Maybe there's somebody close to you that's hurt you. And maybe they've hurt you so bad that there's such this great wound in here that you're worried that you're not going to recover. That can be true for us this morning. And when we look at these terms that Paul gave us, they do personify the persecution that Paul's going through. But really, in some ways, they encapsulate kind of the human suffering that we're all facing on a daily basis. Okay? Yet he also reminds us that there is a surpassing power, right? There is a surpassing power that meets us in our weakness. And it's a power that says that it's so great that though we are afflicted, it says we're not crushed, right? Though we are perplexed, we do not despair. Though we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. Though we are struck down, we are not destroyed. And this means that God, by his grace and power, that he meets us in our sufferings, he meets us in our weaknesses, and he sustains us. That's what he wants us to know. You're perplexed, you're afflicted, but look, I'm meeting you, I am sustaining you. You are struck down, but you are not destroyed. Yet he also sustains us with a purpose. Look with me at verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 4. It says this: for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So again, here's the purpose. Here's where it comes. You're going through sufferings. You're going through hardships. The surpassing power of God is sustaining you. But it's sustaining you for a purpose, so that the gospel may be proclaimed through you. Do you hear that? You are going through what you are going through, the good, the bad, the ugly, so that the surpassing power of God would sustain you, and that people then would be able to see Jesus in and through you. This means that as we walk through sufferings and we continually cling to Jesus, we trust Jesus, and we follow Jesus, God, by his power, is doing a work to proclaim his good news through you. This means that all of your sickness, despair, emotional issues, family issues, financial struggles, work pressures, they're not meaningless. You may feel like they're meaningless, but they're not. God has a grand purpose for them. And it's a purpose of proclamation that through our utter and total weakness, the power of God would be seen in us, and the good news of Christ would go forth. And so my encouragement for you this morning is to not lose heart. Do not lose heart, because you, in your sufferings, you and me, as we walk through these things, have the great and glorious task, by God's power and grace, of proclaiming the gospel and fulfilling the Great Commission. That's our first point for this morning. Second point, don't lose heart. Your sufferings produce spiritual renewal. Look to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. It says this, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." Here's the thing. Paul knew he was dying. That's why he says in verse 12, "So death is at work in us." And then in verse 16, "Our outer self is wasting away." Man, Paul's been through a lot. He's been through sufferings. He's been through beatings. He's been through shipwrecks. He's been stoned. He's been flogged. He's endured stresses. He's endured the loss of everything, right? He's endured all of that. And all of those things have taken a heavy toll on his physical body. That's why he says that death is at work in us. And that's why he says our outer self is wasting away, because he knows that he is dying. And again, sometimes it's pretty hard to relate to Paul, because most of us aren't enduring the exact circumstances that Paul is facing, right? Most of us haven't been flogged. Most of us haven't been stoned. Maybe you have, I don't know. But most of us haven't been shipwrecked 3 times, right? That's not our existence. Most of us haven't been imprisoned for our faith. Yet I think that we can still relate to this. I think we can still relate to the idea that we are wasting away, that our physical life is decaying. Think about this. You know, for some of you, every time that you take a step, you feel pain in your ankle. Maybe you feel it in your knees. Maybe you feel it in your back. It's a reminder that you're wasting away. There are those that go through chemotherapy and they struggle to keep food down when they go through that. It's a great reminder that we're wasting away, right? Every time you find yourself just exhausted, right? How many of you are exhausted this morning? You've had a long weekend with maybe family and friends and hauling people to 3-4 different places. I don't know what you guys have to do for Thanksgiving, but that's exhausting, right? And you're coming home going, man, I just want to sleep. I just want to feel good. And again, maybe it's the stressors of life that are getting you down. Or maybe it's just the day-to-day anxieties and sorrows of living in a world that, let me tell you, it feels like it's in such disarray that sometimes it's easy to wonder if anything good exists. And it's a reminder that you and I and all people are wasting away. You know, for me, I've shared a part of my story before, but I have a piece of metal in my heart. Okay, from a young age, one of my valves was defective and they had to take a metal one and put it in. And from a very young age, this idea of my physical body wasting away became very real. Look with me at Ecclesiastes 3:20. It says this, "All go to one place, all are from dust, and to dust all return." Now, if Paul were to end there, right, if we were just to have this kind of your outer self is wasting away, that would be pretty morbid, right? You would be thinking, man, Paul, geez, thanks for being a Debbie Downer. Come on. There's got to be something a little bit better here. But look at the beginning of verse 16. I think this is so amazing. Right at the beginning of verse 16, Paul starts by saying, so don't lose heart, right? Don't lose heart. And he tells us the reason that we're not supposed to lose heart is because something besides decay and wasting away is happening. And that something, if you look just to the end of that verse, that something is daily spiritual renewal, okay? Daily renewal. spiritual renewal. Does that sound good? Does daily renewal sound good to you? Yeah, absolutely. It sounds good to me. So we should not lose heart as we waste away physically because God is renewing us and strengthening us on a daily basis. In fact, look to Colossians, Colossians 1:11. It says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Okay? This was a prayer for Paul to the church at Colossae, but it's also a reality. He's praying it because he knows that God will do it, right? That God gives us every day what we need to endure this life. That every day that God is strengthening us and renewing us so that we can get through this life, right? And we can get through it and endure with patience and joy. How many of you want patience and joy? I know I do. Again, I have three small kids, so I definitely want patience. So in our suffering, God becomes our strength and renewal. He gives us what we need on a daily basis to endure this life, again, with patience and joy. But there's more. Okay, these sufferings, they're not just about gospel proclamation as if we need anything else. That's good. And it's not just about daily spiritual renewal, even though that is great, and we all want that. But there's more. It's also about preparation. And that's point three this morning. Do not lose heart. Your suffering is preparing glory for you. Okay, look at verse 17. It says this of 2 Corinthians 4. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, I want to stop right here because I don't know about you, but at first glance, if I was just to read the first part of this verse, I'd be a little upset. Okay? Paul, are you calling what I go through on a daily basis light? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that the anxieties that I went through as a kid that were crippling and crushing, are you calling those light and momentary? Are you making light of those things, Paul? Are you calling the suffering of God's people who have chronic issues that may never get better? Are you calling those momentary? Because I know they don't feel momentary to them, Paul. And Paul, who are you, as you're sitting in prison, as you've gone through all of these things, who are you to call what you've gone through light and momentary? Because I'm pretty sure that it didn't end until you died. So then how can, Paul, how can your afflictions, how can my afflictions, how can our afflictions be light and momentary as if they're nothing? And Paul answers me back right in that same verse. And he says, because I'm comparing them to an eternity with Jesus. See, Paul in no way is he downplaying the hardships of our sufferings. The things that you guys have gone through, the things that you are going through, Paul's goal is to not say that those things aren't hard, right? Because they are. Paul knows they're hard. Yet at the same time, what Paul is doing is he's trying to put them in their right place. He's trying to put them in the context of forever with Jesus, right? So that when we look at these 70 years, at 80 years, at 90 years, how many ever years that God gives us, and we compare them to an eternity forever with Jesus, they do. They do become lighter, right? And though that small chunk of time that we have right now, in comparison with forever, it feels momentary, right? This means that the suffering that was once such a burden to us becomes light and weightless and therefore easier to endure as we remember that forever. And again, this is meant to keep us from losing heart. Okay? As you go through your sufferings, as you go through your agonies in this life, you're always keeping it in its right place in the context that there is a forever. Okay? There's a forever that's much greater than what we see now. But again, it's more than just looking at them as light and momentary. It's more than just that. What we also see is that they're preparing something for us. And as it says in verse 17, they are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I have to admit to you this morning, I have no clue what that means. Right? Because it's not that Paul's not saying that he's preparing us, that God is preparing us for glory, though he is doing that. But what he's saying is that God is preparing glory for us. Here's what that means, at least on the face value from the text. It means that for each one of us in the particular sufferings that we're going through, that God is preparing a particular glory for each one of us on that day. And again, I don't know fully what that is. I don't get that. I don't get how God is preparing something individually glorious for each one of us in eternity. I don't get that. Yet it's what the text tells me. And what it means is that all of the particular things that you're going through, all the particular hardships that you're going through, is preparing something specific for each one of you in eternity. Is that not good news? Yeah, that's absolutely good news, right? But as I said, I don't understand it, and we cannot fully comprehend it. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Again, so in no way can I comprehend the glory that is being prepared for you as you walk through the troubles in this life. I have no clue what God is preparing for you as you endure the personal pains and sufferings on a daily basis. But I do know that God has prepared something good for us. Look with me at Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his good purpose, God has prepared something good for you. And I also know that God has prepared an eternal treasure for you. Look with me at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 20, it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Again, it's an eternal treasure that is being stored up for us. So again, all I know is what I see in these texts. One, that God is preparing glory for us. And that glory is good and eternal. It's an eternal treasure. So again, all of your hardships and sicknesses and afflictions and stresses and pains and worries and struggles, they're not meaningless. And I hope that you walk away this morning knowing that they are not meaningless. That they're being used by God, again, as we said, to proclaim the gospel, to renew you, and I will say make you more like Christ. But God is also using them to prepare glory for you, to prepare forever for you. But there's still a question. And I kind of alluded to it in this point. The question is, okay, so I get that. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about proclamation. I'm excited about spiritual renewal. I'm excited about, again, glory, right? Being prepared for me. But yet I'm still here, right? I'm still here today. And how do I live as if these truths are real? How can I proclaim the gospel and yet not want a cave. Man, I really want spiritual renewal. But man, my existence feels so weary and tiresome. How do I endure as I wait for this glory when the pain is crippling and it feels like it won't ever end? Here's the answer. Number 4, don't lose heart. Look to the hope of your eternity with Jesus. Look at verse 18 with me. And it says this, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So Paul's answer to these questions is this. He's saying, look away from all the stuff that you're facing today. Look away from it. And turn your eyes to the unseen promises of God. Look away from your circumstances and turn your eyes to the unseen promises of God. This means that we turn our attention away from this life, which is wasting away, and we turn our eyes to the eternal promises and life that are, yes, they're ours now as believers, okay? They are a reality for us now, meaning that we already have attained them in Christ, but yet they will be fulfilled on the day that Christ returns. And what we need to do is we need to take all of these promises, right? And we need to look to them, and not just look to them, but we need to think about them, and not just think about them, we need to chew on them, and not just that, but we need to memorize them. We need to speak them to ourselves on a daily basis, right? So that we don't forget them, because we so easily forget what God has told us. And this means that you need to go to the place where these promises are found. You need to go to God's Word. You need to read God's word. You need to pray God's word. You need to memorize God's word. We need to fight daily to believe God's word, right? It's not just an intellectual exercise of I read and therefore everything's great, but you need to fight in your own heart. I need to fight in my own heart to believe these promises that are shown to me in God's word. And when you and I fight to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on these promises, we will more clearly see the reality that all of our suffering, and again, all of our wasting away, as I've been talking about, we will see the meaning behind it. We will take joy that God is proclaiming the gospel through us. We will be able to be renewed by his word on a daily basis. We will understand that the weight of glory, at least in a little bit, that is being prepared for us. Because we're looking to forever with Jesus, and we are seeing those promises in God's word. And they are food for our souls. As we just sang in the song before this, show us Christ. It's food for our weary souls. And then what will happen is that all of our suffering in the face of God's promises will ultimately lead to hope and joy. Look with me at Romans 5. Romans 5, 3-5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So my question this morning is, do you have hope? Do you have hope, or have you lost heart? Do you see your afflictions and your sufferings as meaningful, or do you see them as meaningless? And do you believe that God has a plan that he is working out through you that is for your good and your joy? And I would really ask you to ponder that question, because you can easily say yes. I can easily say yes. But there's a day-to-day application of that. On a day-to-day basis, do I really believe and live as if all of my circumstances are part of God's plan that are for my good and my joy? Do I believe that? And my desire for you this morning is, wherever you are, that you're going to turn your face to Jesus, right? That you're going to trust his promises, that you're going to believe his promises, that you're going to live his promises. I encourage you, open his word. See what he is doing through your suffering. See how God is doing a great work that not only has effects here, but also, again, it's preparing glory for you. So don't lose heart. See the wonderful purposes in your suffering and know that one day your faith will surely be sight and eternal glory will be yours. Let's pray. Father, you are such a magnificent and wonderful God, and I cannot comprehend the glory that awaits us when you return. But yet my prayer for myself and for your people this morning is that wherever we are, whatever we're going through, that we will endure the sufferings and the afflictions that we are facing, and that we will do that with joy, knowing that you are doing something great in them and through them that is for our good, that is totally for our good. As you proclaim the gospel, as you renew us through your word, as you prepare forever for us. And may that just produce an overflowing, overwhelming joy within us that sustains us. That sustains us from this day to that. So that the surpassing power and glory and honor will be yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.